message back in February. And I would like to take up sort of where we left off. The secret of power. One of the great desires within churches, among Christians, is that we might receive power from on high. And there's a secret to that. And I just want to share for just a moment, and then we'll go into communion. Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 1. And on the back of your bulletins, there's an outline if you would like to follow along. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up, like someone awakening from a sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" And I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand and a bowl at the top, and seven lamps on it with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left." I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And he answered, "You don't know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I replied. And he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." The world today is what you could call power hungry. We desire power. We have cars that are fast. We want one that'll go a little faster. We got big machinery that can move a lot of dirt. We want a bigger one. How many of you ever worked a drag line? Now you talk about fun. Get one of those things on a Saturday afternoon. You'll enjoy that. You can dig up your yard, the neighbor's yard, and all the way down the block. But get a big one. They have one just outside Plant City that works in the phosphate pits, that they can park six buses in the bucket. Yeah. I've watched it work, and it's amazing. So we get a little excited, especially us guys, about power. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to excite us. And we as a society, we revel in the tremendous engines and machines that will reshape the earth. The energy that can be created by some of our atomic energy plants or electric plants that runs industry. If you've ever been around a steel mill, it's fascinating. It's mind-boggling. But you and I have something that's even more powerful than anything the earth or society can produce. Mankind, with all of his ingenuity, He pales in comparison with the power of God that God can unleash. Do you realize that one drop of power from God's little finger placed upon you could heal every sickness on the face of this planet? One drop of power from God's little finger upon you, and you could do immeasurable things. That's how powerful God is. One of the greatest minds that has ever existed, Immanuel Kant, a German philosopher, he once said, "The existence of the Bible is the greatest blessing which humanity has ever experienced. And when or if it is preached, there is a major movement in store for that church." Not the church just merely spending time talking about it, but moving within that word. Not asking, does God really mean what he said? Or do you think it's really true? But acting upon it, that in that moment, there is a dunamis that is released within that congregation because they will act upon it. Instead of huddling in our little groups and discussing if it really matters. Who wrote this? How long ago was it written? Is it still relevant today? And meanwhile, outside, there's millions of people that are dying of spiritual hunger, and they're going into eternity lost forever. It's not what God intended. If the gospel is somehow left just an idea, then you and I are failing in what we are called upon to do. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go and give the good news. Go and preach the gospel. And he was talking to every one of us. When that gospel is preached under the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a power that's generated that the earth cannot understand. Mankind cannot comprehend. Under proper conditions, following the right formula with God, it begins a process and something supernatural starts taking place. When we take the truth of Jesus and we preach it in the power of the Holy Spirit, that means that we're in the flow using God's formula. And the results are that when the Holy Spirit and the gospel preaching starts coming together, there is an explosiveness. And whoever receives that word will never be the same. That divine energy rocks the room where you are. It'll rock the heart that beats down in your chest. There was 100 disciples on the day of Pentecost, that was 120, that was in the upper room. And suddenly, as they were flowing with the Holy Spirit, the house began to shake. And there was a mighty wind that blew through that place, unexplainable. And then tongues of fire that came and rested on their heads. And it could be heard all up and down the streets. It could be seen that power was coming down. And those that were out on the street began to marvel. What is this? One of the problems with the church today is they've lost that wonder. No longer is God moving in the power that he was. So those that are without, on the outside, they don't wonder and they don't marvel anymore. Because the church is pulled itself inside. And we talk about God, but we don't move with God anymore. We don't see Him outworking with the energy and the power where explosion's concerned. The gospel of God is good news, and it will blow your mind when you really discover it. People are God's concern. Jesus came. Now listen to this. You might write this down. Jesus came to set the captive free. He didn't come to renovate prison cells. He didn't come to make the prisoners feel a little bit more comfortable. He didn't come that we might have nice beds and color television to sit upon while we're in prison. He came to bring the people out and set them free. He came that we might have life, and that more abundantly. And when that heavenly force breaks upon us with that mighty unorthodox effects that people can't understand, that sometimes it boggles my mind and your mind, that's when revival starts to break out. When you reach the limits of your explanations and God is still moving, that's when revival begins to really stir. I remember years and years ago, one gentleman came to that gigantic city of Kissimmee, Florida, that most people can't pronounce, and that Walt Disney has made famous. But he came for a one-week meeting. 14 weeks later, and 4,000 salvations later, and 100 documented miracle healings later, it was still going on and it was still on fire. And that little old church that he was in couldn't hold them all. So they moved to another church and they filled that church up. And there was people standing and God was moving. What a powerful time we had. I remember hearing about, and I was pastoring only a few miles away from Fort Myers First, where Dan Betzer is pastor. And they began a time of revival when thousands upon thousands came in. And I don't remember all the figures, but it seems like there was about 25,000 people got saved that came to Christ through that moving of the Holy Spirit. There is a power that people can't understand or explain. There's effects that reach into humanity that people don't understand. That's revival. That's the supernatural power of God moving. All of a sudden, that graveyard mentality that has a hold of so many churches is broken and gone. And there's life. And there's life where there used to be death. And there's joy where there used to be sadness. And there's overcoming where there used to be defeat. Because God is on the scene and His word has been loosed. Churches cease to be just times of ritual. And reciting, and all of a sudden they become spontaneous in the power of the Holy Spirit. This power is not a blind force that comes from the Netherlands. No, it's Jesus, and he's at work again among his people. When you and I will loose Jesus upon the lost, when Jesus and sin comes face to face, sin loses every time. And people are set free. Those that are bound by addictions, that addiction is broken. I remember one young lady that was coming into Teen Challenge when I was up in Michigan. And I've told this story before. But this elderly couple brought her over. She was in her 20s. She had a job with one of the car companies in Detroit, Michigan. Made wonderful money. But she had spent every penny she had on heroin. She was addicted $200 a day. And every vein in her arms and legs had collapsed. And she was having to shoot it under her tongue now. Her hair was falling out in clumps. And there was huge sores all over her face and body because of the ravages of the heroin. She came about midnight one night. That couple drove all the way over to Muskegon from Detroit. And they sat down in my office and I began to talk to them. And I said, "Do you want to be free?" And she said, "Oh, if I could only be free. I never intended for it to go this far or get this bad. But I don't know what to do." And that old retired pastor and that precious wife and I, we laid hands on Brenda and we prayed a simple prayer. "God, take this thing from her. Crush what Satan is trying to do and set her free." I called the girls' unit. It was about 5 miles away from where we were. And I said, I've got a student that's coming in. She's 22, 23 years old. I forget exactly. The girls already knew that she was coming, and they had been praying for 2 days for Brenda. We carried Brenda over. Those other students that was there gathered around her. By this time, it was 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. They have to get up at 6. So they go to bed praying and singing and worshiping God. And the next morning they get in the breakfast line and Brenda is standing there. And one of the girls that also had been addicted, she said, "You're standing in line, you're going to get coffee?" She said, "No. Man, I want some pancakes and I want some fruit." And and then it hit her. She said, "Oh my God, I'm hungry." For the first time in a year, she's hungry. And another girl said, "Do you feel okay?" And she said, "Well, yeah." And then they all realize that she's come off $200 a day addiction to zero and not had one single withdrawal. The power of God can do that. I remember the guy on the street corner in Muskegon that got so upset with me because I prayed for him and his high went away. He said, "I spent $100 on that thing, and now it's gone." Jesus can do some astounding things when we allow him to. If we'll just move in him and act upon him instead of talking about him. like he's some absentee power somewhere. No, he's very present. All we have to do is just allow him to move in us and through us, around us. Last time we were together, we talked about the conditions that Zechariah found. Zechariah and Nehemiah were proteges, more or less. All of a sudden, they found themselves, they'd been in exile, and they were free to go back to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem had been destroyed by Babylon. One of the things that I see today is the church is losing its influence. And many churches, not physically we're getting more beautiful, but spiritually, I believe we're being destroyed. I see the voice of Christians being quietened so that we no longer can talk. All of that had happened to Jerusalem and to the Jews. But suddenly they were set free. You can go back. But the walls were down. The gates had been burned. There was no protection. There was no blessing that was coming their way. And Nehemiah gives us a lesson, and that's point two. And possibly we need to learn again the secret of power. God raised him up during a day of discouragement and defeat. And this small group that had gone back, less than 50,000, they were trying to clean up the rubble and put things back in order again. But they were having little success because all around them the people were mocking and making fun and hindering their progress. So Nehemiah in chapter 2 verse 17, it says, I said to them, you see the trouble that we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and we will no longer be a disgrace. And we get another picture as we look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Meanwhile, the people in Judah, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Also, our enemies said, before they know it, or before they see it, we will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to this work. What a sad commentary. It seems that the problems and the needs and the resistance was almost insurmountable. The difficulties loomed over them and they didn't know what to do or say. But there was a vision. We just read about it in Zechariah chapter 4. In verses 1 and 2, the angel came and talked to Zechariah. And he went into like a trance. And the angel came and woke him up. And he said, what do you see? And suddenly he began to respond. He said, I see a gold lampstand. It's a solid gold out of one piece of gold. And there's a bowl on top and there's seven lamps on it with seven channels that run off this lamp to feed each one of the bowls. What he was doing was describing the lamp that was in the holy place, in the tabernacle. But he was seeing it in a vision. And the lampstand in the tabernacle is that beautiful picture of Jesus made out of one solid piece of gold, beaten into shape. We know that Jesus went to the cross to pay the price for me and you. And suddenly, the Romans began to beat him and beat him almost unrecognizable. But yet he never said a word because he had a job to do. Shining out of him was a light that drew men and women to him. That symbolizes the Holy Spirit, the caster of light. John said in chapter 6, verse 14, that the Holy Spirit, Jesus talking, will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So that illuminator is the Holy Spirit. And he reveals that golden lampstand, which is a picture of Jesus. I don't want to get too confusing with this, but I want you to just get this picture. When Zechariah saw it in a vision, it was the same lampstand, but there was two added accessories, and that's where I began last time. There was a bowl on top, and it was like a huge reservoir. The oil would be poured in, and then there was channels that came out and went to each of the smaller bowls. There were seven of them. And it kept them full. The lamps, as God instructed Moses to make, they were just separate little bowls. They had no connections. They were by themselves and they were to themselves. And each one had a wick. And that wick would draw up oil into the wick and make the flame. This one was different. This one, the oil flowed down out of the big reservoir bowl, that bowl at the top, and it fed each one of the other lamps. That's very important. In Moses' day, it was every man to himself, and the Holy Spirit would fall upon individuals at certain times. But on the day of Pentecost, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and said that he would indwell us, that he would be in us, and that he would lead us into truth. The picture that is being seen here by Zechariah is the fulfilling of that moment. That in Christ, each one of us has received that channel that comes from on high, and the oil will flow down upon us. The oil is symbolic of the anointing and the moving power of the Holy Spirit. So we each one can be full all the time of the Spirit of God. We can receive that power, that dunamis of heaven. And we can move in that dunamis, which means dynamite. Those pipes or channels that lead to each bowl of the lamp. It symbolizes the abundance of power that is available to the church, to Christians today. And it speaks loudly of the Holy Spirit that is pictured there in the illumination of this lampstand. But there was something else that was added, and I'm coming to a close here. There was something else that was added. And we find it in the next verse, Zechariah chapter 3. There was two olive trees that was by it. One on the right of the bowl, one on the left of the bowl. Again, all of this enhances the abundance of power that is available through Christ for the church. The bowl which supplies the lampstand of seven lamps. Each one had those pipes or channels that came out of them, feeding the individual. Each one is fed by one of those seven pipes into the seven bowls. But they're in turn connected to the two olive trees. What kind of oil was it that was put in the reservoir that flowed down? It was olive oil. And there was two olive trees that were there. Jesus said His supply never runs dry. As the oil would be consumed, that new oil would flow from that reservoir. And it would come directly from its source, right to the one that was consuming it and needing it. Whichever bowl was getting low, that would be the one that would be fed. And that oil was always flowing. And if the reservoir started getting kind of shallow, the olive trees would squeeze new oil and refill. What a picture of Christ. The Holy Spirit moving in us. Jesus has sent Him. He said He will lead you into all truth. He will give you power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So when you and I are moving in ministry, sharing God's love, sharing God's gospel, praying for others, that flow coming from on high never ceases. That abundance is always there for me and you. The middle man is eliminated. And it flows directly from the reservoir, which is Christ Himself, right into the hearts of every believer. It's the secret of power that we would allow God just to use us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had an oil refinery and you could just stick the hose in your car and you'd never have to stop to fill it up? You could drive on forever. That's what's happening with the Holy Spirit's power down inside of us. We have that direct connection, that hose from on high is connected to our spirit man. And we can continue on with Christ, winning souls and helping those that are hurting. And we don't have to continuously fill up. The lampstand doesn't move. But there is that direct connection with its source of power. You and I, we're not going to change. We're in Christ. Don't walk away from Him. Walk to Him. I remember on a Monday night, Pastor McLean, Brother McLean, was preaching a message. And he made a statement This was in 1978. And I remember it like it was last night. He reached over the pulpit and he pointed. There was about 300 people in that gymnatorium. Most of them were ex-addicts or prostitutes. Those who had been hurting, and some would call the scourge of society. There was a group of about 25 that came off the street that day. And they were sitting there. And Brother McLean looked them in the eye and said, "In your troubles, don't run from God. Run to Him." So I'm saying to you, Jesus has all you need. He has all the strength you need. He has all the power you need. He has all the healing you need. He has all the love you need. When the going gets tough, don't give up and walk away. Run to Him and embrace Him. And let that supply begin to flow again. It's the secret of power. You're connected by the Holy Spirit to the very throne room of God. Don't let that connection be broken. So in your trouble, and some of you are struggling, don't run from God. Run to Him. Because there's help. There's hope in Christ Jesus. There's healing. There's deliverance. There's overcoming power. We'll take up at that point next time we come together. Bow your heads for a moment, please. I would be remiss if I passed by this moment and I hurried on just because of the schedule. So I want us to take a moment, and I want to reach out and touch you the best I can. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, for just a moment, this is a private time. This is a personal time. Me and you and God. But if you would say, "Pastor Lewis, I've been hurting. There's a loneliness. There's a financial need. There's a struggle." Whatever the need might be, would you please pray for me? I need some help. I need some hope. I need somebody to care and to pray. So if you're sitting here today and you have a need of whatever manner, it doesn't matter, and you just say, "Pastor Lewis, pray for me. I'm struggling." I want you to rest assured that I'll pray. So would you just slip your hand up right now? Yes, 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 yes. I see you up there. Yeah. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Father, you have observed, and you know exactly every need that's represented here this morning. God, I know that you're well able to meet all of those needs. And I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would just go and stand beside them, stand with them. Give hope where hope may be lost. Give strength, power, and meaning. God, touch that person that's struggling. And let your peace, which passes understanding, keep their heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.